Hello out there again in podcast land. This is Bill Randall. I'm the, so far, I'm still the public relations chair of Rotary District 5160, and we're here to do our third podcast, and pretty pumped up tonight because we've got six Rotary Club presidents from our local San Ramon Valley, six clubs, and we're going to find out exactly what it means to be a president of a Rotary Club, the excitement, the thrills, the challenges, and the opportunities that being a president of a Rotary Club can provide for you. And so best way to start things off, I think, is for you to hear the names of these folks and the clubs they represent, and also how long they've been in Rotary, so you can get an idea of exactly what it takes to be a president of a Rotary Club. So here we go.
I'm Tony Leonard. I am the president of the Danville Rotary Club, and I've been in Rotary for 9 years now.
All right. Welcome, Tony.
Dennis Garrison. I'm the president of the Rotary Club of San Ramon, and I've been in Rotary 16 years.
And a very snappy dresser, I should add. Unfortunately, there's no video on this, but he is looking sharp tonight,
folks. I have a face made for podcast.
Absolutely. And over here we have...
I'm Deborah Killeen. I'm the president of the San Ramon Valley Rotary Club, and I've been in Rotary for 6 years.
All right. Thanks, Deborah, and welcome to you, too. And another dapper dresser there, sir.
Bill Clarkson, Doherty Valley San Ramon Rotary Club. Been in Rotary 21 years now.
Wow. That would be our grandpa so far of Rotary. And my good buddy here from Alamo Club.
Steve Paulson, president of Rotary Club of Alamo. Been in Rotary since 1988.
And over here we have...
And I'm Melanie Prohl. I'm president of the Danville Sycamore Club, and we meet in the morning. And I have been in Rotary for 15 years.
All right. That was a slight pitch telling you that you could get out of that big lunch and come to a morning meeting. Watch out for that with these people. They're pretty aggressive in their membership recruitment. Anyway, I am thrilled to be here with these six club Rotary presidents. And this isn't just your average group of Rotary presidents. These are a bunch of hot dogs. These are people that got projects going in their communities. They got international projects. They got cooperative projects. Fantastic, powerful Rotary clubs here. And so they're good people to ask about what it means to be a president, because it's quite a challenge to be a president of an active club. And let's make it easy on them and just say, give them a second here and say, all right, so you've been Rotary president now for a good three quarters of a year, two thirds at least. What's been your best moment so far? What do you think? All right, who wants to take a shot on that one? What's your best Rotary moment?
My best Rotary moment, this is Tony Leonard, the Danville Rotary Club president, I would tell you would be the experience that I got to enjoy at the International Rotary Convention, and last year it was in Montreal, Canada. Because it gives us the opportunity, for those who haven't been to an international convention before, to see the scale at which Rotary operates on the international stage and the good things that Rotary does, the meaningful, the significant impact that Rotary has throughout the world. It gives you the opportunity to get exposed to that and then also bring that back to your club level. So for me, I would say that the defining moment for me as club president was my visit to Montreal.
Wow.
At the International Convention.
Yeah, those international conventions are unbelievably inspiring and fun. Who else wants to take a shot at the best thing in their Rotary experience? Remember, either volunteer or I'm going to point at you, so let's have somebody.
This is Steve Paulson with Alamo, and I think one of the best moments I've had this year as president was teaming with the five other club presidents here and four club presidents in the Delta area to form a Rotacare Pittsburgh free medical clinic at St. Vincent de Paul, which is available to uninsured people in the East Contra Costa County area.
Now, Steve, what exactly does that mean? It's a Rotacare clinic. Who can go to that thing?
Uninsured individuals that are acute, have acute or chronic conditions that require medical care and don't have the means to be able to go to a hospital emergency room.
So is this for kids, grown-ups?
For adults.
For adults. Mm-hmm. And
clinic is open on Wednesdays from 4 to 7 p.m. You can make appointments from 1 to 3, and we do see walk-ins. We have a great team of volunteer doctors, nurses, pharmacists, bilingual translators, and just general IT type people that help with the IT systems and data entry.
Wow. And it's been a lot of fun putting that together for you, yep. I know.
Officially and opened on February 9th. They have a grand opening coming up on Wednesday, March 16th.
All right. Excellent. And how about you, sir, Mr. Clarkson?
Our Doherty Valley Santa Ramon Rotary Club is a new club. We began from scratch about 14 months ago, and so I guess our most memorable, or my most memorable, perhaps the club's most memorable moment was our charter dinner that we had back in September. We had grown to 73 members by then, and we were joined by many of my fellow board members, my fellow presidents here and members from their clubs, and we had to get together at Round Hill Country Club. And it was a wonderful evening. We had Cliff Docterman, the past president of Rotary International, speak to the group, and it was just a marvelous evening. It's something that none of us in our club will forget. And by the way, we meet Wednesday afternoons, 5 o'clock, out in Doherty Valley, for those who may have interest.
Okay, so we're obviously in pitch city here, folks. You're just going to get used to these pitches. But I will tell you, one of the biggest aspects of Rotary is the social camaraderie, the fun that Rotarians have. Even when they're doing business, like we're doing now, you know, we're having a lot of fun. And the social side of it is really the glue that kind of holds us all together. So when you do need someone to help you on a project, or you want them to come and support you with something, all you got to do is look at them and say, yo me. And sure enough, they'll come in. It'll end up being fun for all of us. But let's move along. How about you, Deborah?
Well, the best moment as president so far this year, I think, has been every Wednesday night at 7:30. And that is being there with the club, showing, seeing the happy, smiley faces, and also, speaking of social, we started a social gatherings. I think that's been a really wonderful start for growing our club and getting the new members to interact with the old members and sharing their wisdom. You know, and really that pretty much, and that, and also as far as our projects has probably been with the seniors and seeing the faces on, you know, the smiling faces that they have when we go to the senior facilities like we've done this year, and as we've done for, I think, 13 to 15 years, somewhere in that ballpark, and sharing on Valentine's Day and also on senior breakfasts and just, you know, being involved with the seniors in our community. And I think that's pretty much what has been my special moment as far as being president, is getting involved in the community.
Yeah, it does take a commitment, folks, to be a Rotarian. You know, you have a weekly meeting, and then you have all those things that you're working on with other folks. And being a president is like a full-time job, and you have to do it if you happen to be working along with your other job. So there's lots of things to do, but there are some people that handle it as if it's absolutely nothing, and one of those is Mr. Garrison from San Ramon. What's your most memorable moment so far, Dennis?
Our most memorable moment every year is our carbo load. This is the 26th year in a row we've put it on. This year we had about 1,200 people came to eat pasta and other food at the Toyota warehouse, which Toyota generously allows us to use. And this year we netted a little over $50,000, which we will donate to the San Ramon Valley Education Foundation.
Wow, that's a chunk of change, Dennis. So what happens at the carbo load? People just go and eat pasta and pass out, and you call the EMTs to take them home? Or you got any auctions or anything else going on with that? What happens there?
We have a lot of entertainment. We have a lot of events for kids, clowns, face painting, pictures, bouncy toys. We have a silent auction. And this year we had choir and singers from the local high schools.
So you're telling me you throw this big community party and you come away with 50 grand that you can throw back into the school system? That's pretty amazing way to be a service organization. Congratulations on that. That is a really successful and long-time event that people in your area really look forward to. And finally, Melanie, what's your high so far this year?
Well, just recently I went on a trip to Monterrey, Mexico, and probably what made me feel really warm and fuzzy about my club was that before I went, I said I wanted to take down some things to Monterrey and give it to some of the kids that we would be seeing there. And so I asked the club if we could get donations for toiletries and stuffed animals and school supplies. And my club just really came through. In fact, we were getting emails on the Wednesday before we were supposed to leave saying, I've got a bunch of stuffed animals. And somebody brought a bunch of brushes for the girls to comb their hair. Believe it or not, that was kind of a...
hot item, huh?
Well, I mean, you think stuffed animals go over well, but brushes go over well, too, for people down there. And so I think just the moment that I realized that everybody was really there to help me and then give me a really great experience of giving away those things when I was in Monterey.
Yeah. One of the things that Rotary offers every Rotarian is a diversity of opportunities to participate in service. And it can be in your own hometown, it can be somewhere in the state, somewhere in the nation, or international, as you heard some of these things. And the diversity is reflected in what these folks are talking about. There's so many different ways to have a good time. But believe me, folks, I've been club president, and it isn't all a bed of roses. As a matter of fact, I had grandiose plans for my club and only ran into my board. And when I went to the board, I was delighted and appalled to find out that they also had grandiose visions. They weren't exactly mine. Somehow we cut deals and we got a lot done, and it was a wonderful year. And I was glad to turn it over to Steve, who took it, and he's got it this year. But I'm just wondering, presidents, okay, we've looked at the high side now. Did you run into any surprises being a Rotary president like I did? Did you find that that your diplomatic skills came into play, or did you find any things that sort of, well, gave you pause to reassess and find out that it does take a special personality to take a group of 30 to 70 volunteers and herd cats? Do you have any thoughts about the special skills that a president might need to run a Rotary Club? Or is that a loaded question, folks?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So, Tony.
So, Bill. I would say that, as much preparation as you get by way of, you know, your experience in Rotary and then going through PETS, President-Elect Training Seminar, you still, hit the ground when you start your year and you've got your club in front of you that, you find out who the really involved and active members are, and your challenge is to try to get everybody in your club involved and active and participating so that, you know, they can fulfill, you know, their wishes and dreams within Rotary. And so that, you know, that presents you with some challenges. You're called upon to, as you mentioned, exercise some of your diplomacy and what have you. But, there's some realizations that I think you come to that, you're going to get a lot of participation from a very specific core of your membership. Mm-hmm. And again, as I say, the challenge is to try to incorporate the rest of them. And that, you know, along with the other duties and responsibilities you have as a president, keeps you pretty actively busy. So,
keeps you hopping. Yeah. Great. Somebody else chime in on that one.
Well, as a second time around president, I found this time around to be a heck of a lot easier than the first time. and I think, as Bill will probably tell you, I'm pretty darn good at delegating.
He certainly is. I've got to learn to say no to Stephen more often. But
we've run into a few issues from time to time. We might have one or two members that kind of gets out of control and has grandiose ideas, and you have to rein them in, and you know we're able to do that.
I'm sorry about that, Steve. Truly, I'm trying. Yeah, it's a lot of fun, as Steve says.
Even if Bill is the one of them.
Now, how about you, Bill? You got this. This young club with all these young people that are just ambitious and techno-savvy and everything, how is it keeping them all together?
Well, the biggest challenge with a club that's new is that they're new, which means we don't know what we know, we don't know what we don't know. Everybody has thoughts about what Rotary should do based on the role models of the other five clubs, by the way. The most difficult thing for me, and I spoke about this earlier to the group before we run on the podcast is that I don't want to imprint my values and my thoughts about Rotary is on the club. And so it's taken a while to allow the club to naturally, sort of organically, grow into the kind of club they want to be as a club, and not necessarily what I want the club to be. And so they sometimes become impatient because we're not doing certain things, but I don't want to be the one dictating what those certain things are. And so it's been a steady, gradual accumulation of their values and their norms and their habits and the things they enjoy doing. And so slowly but surely, maybe by the time this year is over, we'll have evolving into a culture that was their culture and not one that was imposed upon them. And I think that's when they really feel like they own. And so it's more authentic.
So that's that buy-in that'll keep them going when you step down from the podium.
That's right, because I hand off the baton to Cindy Duffy, and I'm history.
Sounds like he might be getting ready to do that, folks. And not every Rotary president, club president, is a megalomaniac. I'm not saying that that's what I am, but obviously there's a diversity in leadership style, too. And Bill, you spoke very well to generating the that leadership through your membership. What about you, Deborah? How is it to run that club of yours, boy? Because if I'm not mistaken, I believe they were awarded the best club last year in our district.
Number one.
How did that happen? What's that? What have you done to build on that?
Well, we're no longer a small club. We're a mighty club. So we're growing by leaps and bounds. But I'm learning, learn to delegate, learning to let people take roles in making the club work and letting the people work for the club and making it what their own, just like Bill was saying. So pretty much there's no disappointments. I mean, in my club, everybody's been wonderfully participating. Here or there we might have a few little squabbles, but you know what? It always seems to work out. There always seems to be someone there for everything. So
I guess if people don't argue, that means they don't care. If they're arguing,
care
enough to argue, don't they? How about that San Ramon Club, Dennis?
We have a membership of 60 members. We have probably 20 past presidents and 2 past district governors. So you realize very quickly you're not really in charge.
So that's 23 agendas or something.
You may get a lot more microphone time than everybody else, but they're all in charge. But we have a very good retention. We have a lot of long-term members. We do some of the great projects, as we've said, we've done for as long as 26 years. So we get a lot of stuff done, and we have a lot of fun. And occasionally this year, I've heard the phrase, but we've always done it this way. But we're gradually wearing that down, and we're making some changes. And I came along after a local legend, Dr. Bill Harlan. And if any of you know Dr. Bill, he's a natural entertainer and very entertaining. And next year's president is Robin Stevens, who's very outgoing and very natural. So I'm sort of like the recess between those two.
Well, you may be selling yourself just a little short, because this guy is a fireball and of energy and highly committed to Rotary, too. But a real firebrand in the group, the one who's just, you read about her in the paper all the time. She's just on the celebrity column and everything. Melanie, how's it going over there at Danville Sick?
Well, it's going really well, but I have to say that my biggest challenge and I wasn't prepared for was the fact that some of the members in my club were having many problems. So one of the changes we made this year is going from a full breakfast to a continental breakfast. Mm-hmm. I think we got through it, but it was kind of an interesting way to start my presidency.
That's an interesting thing you raise, because my experience in 5 years of Rotary is you're going to get more debate and argument about what the meal is than you will about what the projects are. People will get on board about a project and say, yeah, that's a good thing. Those people need that. Let's do it. But let's talk about that lunch. Or I'm not happy with breakfast, and can we do something about that? It's an interesting thing to be a Rotary president, because you can be blindsided by things that come along, and good and bad. But there is an advantage, as well as perhaps disadvantages, to being the one at the podium for the year. And I'm just wondering if you have any thoughts on things that you were able to do with a gavel in your hand, ringing a bell, that you might not have attempted, or things that you weren't able to do because of the position that you held. Was there any things that being the president gave you an ability to do better, or that made it difficult for you to do? Again, I know it's another loaded question, but we want to keep these people awake here. So what is it that you found was a special advantage or a disadvantage of being the president?
I love the microphone. I just feel like, you know, I don't have a really loud voice, and it doesn't really carry. But you put the microphone in, and I just feel like I can just lead the group.
Brings a tiger out of you, huh? Yeah. All right, a little power glam going on there. How about you, the man with the velvet voice, Tony?
Well, you know, I would say that I came into my presidency at a really good time in our club, in that, you know, not only is Rotary at the national level and the international level changing in terms of, you know, becoming more, let's say, flexible and viable and sort of relaxing some of the old, must-dos and must-haves and must-bes to kind of be a little bit more accessible and easier to be involved in, I'll put it that way. So I came into a club that was an older club. It had a history and a reputation of being sort of an old guy check writing club. At a time that, we were able to kind of turn the corner and kind of move forward into sort of the new millennium and a new way of thinking. And so we've been able to attract some really good, vibrant, energetic new members who kind of see that about Rotary, that it is changing and that it is kind of heading in a more open and accessible way without being stuck in sort of the old we've always done it this way kind mm-hmm. of mode. So I kind of feel like it's been, you know, a thrill for me and exciting for me to kind of be at the podium with the microphone in my hand and sort of facilitate that, continue to facilitate that direction to the degree that I can. And for me, that's also been uplifting and, you know, energizing for me as president. So that's what
so
I would add.
Being on
that.
The cutting edge, basically. Well, watching Rotary.
Yeah, not quite cutting edge yet. We're still in the sharpener.
All right. Going round and round on that wheel, folks.
But we're heading in the right direction.
Yeah, that's pretty exciting. What about you, Deborah? How do you see the future of Rotary? Because that may be an even better topic. What do you see as the advantages of being president? What have you, or perhaps the disadvantages? It sounds like you might like that microphone, too.
Yeah, well, I've learned to build my self-confidence, be able to speak in front of an audience. As much as I may love people, I still have that little bit of stage fright. And I've worked on trying to, you know, make it a better presentation, a little more fun, a little more relaxing, and getting out in the audience, almost like, you know, being an entertainer.
So it's been liberating for you, then? Liberating as a person, and you've grown personally right. because you had to do this job, huh?
Exactly.
Nothing like public speaking 101 once a week, huh?
Yeah, well, obviously I needed it. Yeah.
Now, Mr. Clarkson, I don't think anyone would say that you were reticent to speak before a crowd, but as president, now you've done 2 years or a year and a half, right, in this club and setting up this new club. How have you been able to leverage the power of the president? What have been the advantages for you in setting up this new club? What did you bring to all that?
I'm not sure there's a special advantage being president beyond the fact that responsibility was there, but I've spent a lot of time at Pete's Coffee, inviting people out to spend an hour and talk about getting involved in Rotary. But in terms of the speaking part, the part that I reflected upon me was all the years that I spent in the San Ramon Club, Dennis's Club, and that year after year after year, every president had their style. They had a way of creating and entertaining half an hour before the speaker came up. And the emphasis of what I tried to carry into the new club is to make it a soft place to fall once every week. It was a place so that our members look forward to coming and relaxing with friends, sort of like a common watering hole. You gather there once every week. Again, I repeat the word, if it's a soft place to fall among friends. And the purpose of the president was to create an atmosphere of good fellowship, good laughter, and that they would leave the meeting feeling uplifted. They'd feel the meeting feeling as if they had a good time, good chuckles, a good speaker. And that responsibility of being like the entertainer or being somebody who's on stage, and I would think about it all day long to make sure that, you know, who had a birthday, who had a special event, who did something crazy that's in the paper that I could recognize, trying to always make everybody feel special in the meeting because they all appreciate being recognized at different times for what they've accomplished. And that was part of the responsibility that you have as a president, is to do that and make the light shine on them and not on you.
Right, right. They, you know, one of the truisms in Rotary, and you'll hear it from just about everybody one time or another, is rule number one is what? You gotta be fun. If you're not having fun doing this stuff, maybe you won't show up. Maybe it's there's something else you really need to do. So making it fun is a critical thing, and having a good time yourself. And there's nobody at the table who's more fun for me than president of my club, Steve Paulson. Steve, how is it you just keep that Alamo club so much fun?
Well, I'll tell you, the best way we keep it fun, Bill Randall was awarded an award at the Leadership Academy a couple of weeks ago as being the noisiest. So when we get up and ring the bell, we're able to shut them up.
So, Steve, how have you leveraged... he basically nailed me, folks. All right, so here's the thing. Oh, buddy. How have you been able to leverage your position as president this year, as opposed to being, you know, just the guy in waiting? Does it make a difference if you've got the podium, you got the microphone?
Not really. Not okay. Really. At least in my opinion, it doesn't make a huge difference because you're there to have fun. You want the members to have a good program. You know, we've had a great program chair this year with Jan Robinson. Really super programs.
Mm-hmm.
We've tried to hold the announcements so that we break at 12:30. Have a half hour of fellowship, and everybody's having fun.
Well, I think Steve's selling himself short here, because if it wasn't for Steve, I don't think this big Rotacare clinic that just opened up in Pittsburgh with all these other clubs, 11 or 12, how many it is?
10
other clubs. Steve is good at delegating, and he didn't mention, but he's also good at twisting arms in a very friendly kind of way. And Steve's the kind of guy to get out there and make it happen. And one of the fun challenges, of course, in any organization is to get everybody to buy into it. An idea, and there's so many good ideas out there, and there's a lot of competition. Folks, if you had it to do all over again, if you had just gone to Pets, and if you were coming in to start your year over, is there anything that you would change, do differently, emphasize more? Anything at this point, because you're not really out of it yet, so it's not too late to make a big change, or are things going along pretty swimmingly, pretty much what you expected? Who wants to take a crack at that one?
Well, I think for the Alamo Club, there's not much I would change. I think, you know, we've got good participation. We've got the support of our members for the Rotacare Pittsburgh Clinic, along with the five other clubs here in the 680 corridor and the four in the Delta area. You know, we participated in a major international program, which we ended up with a $92,500 global grant from RI with the participation of a pilot district in India. We're working on another one, which will come to the board on Monday, where we have an anonymous donor that's willing to contribute money for a project in Bangladesh and teaming with a district there, even though it's a non-pilot district. So I don't think there's much I would change. I'd like to probably put a little more emphasis on membership recruitment, but we're moving forward with that. We have three prospective members to propose to the board, I think, on Monday. So, you know, we're moving.
Sounds like a well-oiled machine just out there running and doing and doing and doing. How about you, Melanie?
Well, I think, you know, there's always a lot of things that you want to do at the beginning of their year, and then you get in the middle of it and just find that, you know, you don't have time to do everything. And so after a while, you just try to do the best you can and hope that your club, you know, gets really involved. So we've done a lot of good things this year, And I don't know. We'll see.
All right. All right. It is true. It's kind of like I'm asking all these super active clubs, couldn't you have done any more? And my gosh, I don't know how many minutes there are in an hour, but these people tend to use them all. What about you, Dennis? What kind of things would you change? Anything? Anything that comes to mind that you would do differently? Or
no, we have a fairly defined year. So much of our year, our big events are from July through December. I would have tried to get started on membership recruitment earlier in the Rotary year, but our guys are really busy for the first 6 months doing events. And we've begun to catch up. We've got 4 new members this month, and you know we're hoping to build to get as many as 10 new members this year. But member recruitment is something that really should be 12 months a year. It's a big challenge to bring people in, get them indoctrinated or introduced to what Rotary does, get them to buy into the good things, and really understand that you're really developing a large group of friends and people that you can count on in good times or bad. And I would have probably started membership recruitment as a primary effort a little bit sooner.
Yeah. We can always use more members, folks. Rotary is an organization that gives you the opportunity to serve in so many different ways. And the more things you do, the more things you find that you want to do. Is there anything that you would change, Tony?
Well, I think to kind of add on to what Melanie said, I think when you come back from PETS and International Convention, you're, you know, inspired and awestruck, and you're going to come in and change the world with your Rotary Club. And I think for us, I think I probably would have spent more time maybe in the international front. When I came back from convention and you know, started my year as president, my focus was to try to tie in the international effort back to the local level and back. And, you know, we have accomplished a lot of our goals, most of our objectives, and we've participated financially in a lot of international projects, which really does my heart good. They're things that we really believe in. We didn't, however, get around to writing a grant, but we have, as I say, participated in them. I think that I'm happy with the direction of our club and the accomplishments that we've made. We've had an extremely successful fundraiser in our annual crab feed, which was a lot of fun as well. We are fast approaching our next fundraiser, which is our annual golf tournament that's preceded by a dinner at Black Hawk on a Saturday night with golf on Monday, which typically comes close to the kind of money that we generate for fundraising at our crab feed. So I'm happy with the direction. I like, as I said, you know, kind of changing the feel and the look of our club and being able to assist and be part of that. You know, I guess I probably would say that I'd like to see my successor maybe write a grant, and I'd like to help him do that.
So. All right. Well, that's kind of where I was going to go next, is what would you tell your PE? Now, PE is the president-elect. That's the person that's coming in to take over in July. And you've heard the term PETS thrown out here several times. And what that really means is president-elect training seminars. Is that right, folks? And basically, it's a combination series of seminars, pep rally, and collective insanity exercise that prospective Rotary Club presidents go to, and they get all jazzed up and usually leave that experience feeling like, as Tony says, well, now it's my chance to change the world just using my little Rotary Club. And we're quite ambitious and fired up, and generally it carries us through the year, and it carries us on in Rotary. But how was it for your club this year? Deborah, is there anything that you would go back and change, or anything you'd emphasize, or what advice would you give to your president-elect, for instance?
No, I think we're rotarized. We pretty much are in there with our traditions, and we've added spice to those traditions by having the younger members and being able to utilize their skills and talents. And we're making a few changes on our Valley Teen Idol, which is our fundraiser coming up on June 11th. Really, you know, the event is expanding, so new location. And really that is our president-elect position as far as a job.
Responsibility.
Responsibility.
Throw them in the fire.
That's right. Uh-huh. So, but as far as the only thing I could think of is that I would have liked to have gotten a little more hands-on. Hands-on projects in the community. I'd like to see that happening. But we were, you know, able to contribute and are still working with the Rotocure project. And I think that's a great way of having hands-on as well. So.
Yeah, hands-on is when you get your hands dirty. You know, you get paint because you're all over yourself because you're painting someplace, or you're actually changing the batteries out in somebody's smoke alarms, or you're actually getting to participate. And, of course, then when you're raising money, it's a little further removed. You're still accomplishing doing good works. But Rotarians are very fond of both kinds of projects, doing projects that are far away and doing projects that they can actually participate in. I was just wondering, Mr. Clarkson, you are going to be turning the reins of this new fabulous Doherty Valley Club over to Cindy Duffy. And I remember a year and a half ago, one of your first meetings, and this gal was almost deer in the headlights, looking, oh my gosh, enthusiastic, but didn't know much about Rotary, didn't know much about what she might be able to commit to, and now she's going to be the president of your club. Now, what advice have you given her? How have you paved the way for her?
She and I went out to lunch yesterday, and we had this conversation about how she enjoyed the president-elect training, which she thoroughly enjoyed. And what I was sharing with her is that when her year begins, it's her year. And that she needs to understand that it's her year, it's her club, and it's her board, and it's their direction, and that I am going to support her in any way I can, but I'm out of the way. And it was important for her to know that I was going to have her run one meeting out of every four the rest of the year, so she gets used to it. And when it's her turn to have the agenda and the control of the gavel, that she's comfortable doing that, and she knows that she and her board set their direction and have their priorities.
Right.
The lucky thing being a new club is that we don't really have the expectations of an established club like Dennis, where they have a set year and a series of past presidents, and you can kind of measure what they've done. And I could have a really off night, and they don't know any better, and they still think they had a good time. So it's easy for me.
All right. Well, Alamo, my own club, is one of those clubs that probably 80 or 90% of the members are past presidents. We even got people like Steve here in for the second time. Chris Suter, who's coming up next, he's going in for the second time. But in Alamo, we structured a little bit differently. Steve, tell them about the in-depth structure for continuity.
Well, for continuity, what we've done is created a president's council that consists of the president, past president, one or two past presidents, the president-elect, the vice president, who's a couple of years out, plus the treasurer. And we occasionally get together and we talk about the programs and what's working, what's not working, anything needs to be changed. And we've really put together a 3 or 4 year plan. So the goals don't change that often. We know the direction we're going, and it seems to be pretty successful.
Well, how do you get your people that are actually doing the work, all your committees and stuff, how do you get them organized so that you don't have to reinvent the wheel?
Well, each committee chair agrees to serve in the position for 2 years. And so, you know, we're building from that, plus we assign people to committees that they want to be involved with. And, you know, hopefully the committee chair is looking for a successor. PE is looking for committee chairs, so it's a pretty smooth operating machine.
All right. So it is quite a commitment to manage a Rotary Club, and you obviously can't do it on your own. That's why you're backed up with all the other folks that have been in charge and will be in charge, and people that, I don't know, what do they say? If you've got two Rotarians together, you probably got three or four opinions on every subject that's available. On the other hand, Rotarians are those people who are doers, and they are the people who set out to do something and will see that it's done and it'll be done right. The future. You guys are going to be moving up pretty quick. You're going to be moving sideways at any rate and let that rookie in. And just wondering, what do you see as your future in Rotary? What are you going to do? Are you going to take a year off? You're going to stay there, make sure things are done right. You're going to, what you going to do? You got to look for something else. What else does Rotary offer to someone who's been the club president and at the end of the year gets thrown in a swimming pool and is suddenly relieved of that duty of having to run those weekly meetings? So who's got an idea of what's up? Tony, give us an opinion, then we'll let you out of here.
I'm going to take a deep breath, pull myself out of the swimming pool, and hide under a rock for a year.
You better believe they won't let him do it.
Actually, trying to get my business back and shored up again after having been distracted for a while. But seriously, I am on the board as the immediate past president, and I intend to continue to be very active in Rotary and participate at the board level. And also, eventually over the course of the next X number of years, consider maybe something beyond the local club level, maybe something in the district. No commitments, nothing for sure yet, but I believe in Rotary. I'm so glad I got thrown in the swimming pool, or did what it took to get thrown in the swimming pool at the end of the year. We aren't there yet, but just to stay the course and continue my involvement in Rotary, and we'll see where that goes. So
excellent. Yeah. He's done, folks. He's hooked. Trust me. He'll have a job before he even finishes president. We're going to let him slip out of here. Tony, thanks so much.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Melanie, you're already involved in so many things. What are you going to be doing when you get to slip away from that podium and they won't give you the microphone automatically each week?
Well, I'm going to go back doing what I was doing in international. There's some projects that I kind of put on hold for about 2 years, so I want to go back and address those. But otherwise, I kind of want to go away and just not do any Rotary things for a while, because as president, I spend quite a number of hours on the weekends doing things. And I would like to paint my upstairs bedroom, so that's my first goal.
This is what's known as unbridled domestic ambition, folks. And it does get shelved, apparently, when you dedicate yourself to running a Rotary Club. What about you, Deborah? What are you going to do when you get a little breathing room here?
I'm still going to be part of the team. I still I love my family, my team, Rotary team. And I basically will be there for Hell Week with Gary Clark to stand there and make sure he does it right, and pretty much be there for whatever they need. I don't see myself leaving anything other, I'm going to still be on the board, and I would like to get involved in the district level eventually, but I see my... Laura, put that pad away, Laura.
She's just been signed up, folks.
She just got you signed
Laura,
up.
Laura, that's another $5, right? You owe me. Okay, and what else?
And pretty much I plan on getting my house back in order, too. I've been living in a bubble, so with construction's kind of been put on hold. So I plan on doing that, and then I'll get in there and dig into some project that we get for Santa Ramon Valley. So.
Don't you just hear you can take the podium away from them, but you can't take them away from the podium. These people are not giving up. They're still going to be dedicated Rotarians. How about you, Dennis? What's up?
I'm happily to give up the microphone. That doesn't bother me a bit.
All right.
Actually, I'm already planning for a project in July of 2012 to take a field trip to Šiauliai, Lithuania, to help them put on the Lithuanian Olympics.
Wow.
They visited our club last May. We gave them some money to buy some tuberculosis testing equipment for the local children's hospital. As the ex-president, you're president of the Rotary Foundation for the San Ramon Club, so you don't have the podium every week, but you have just as much work. And I'm looking forward to that, and I do a lot in Lithuania, so the chance to take a group in July of 2012 is really exciting.
Just as many opportunities to be of service to mankind. I believe you said work. We don't want to give these people the wrong impression, right? I mean, just because it takes a ton of time and really taxes all your energy and everything, wouldn't you agree that you get just a fabulous feeling when you pull something off for Rotary? Steve, what are you going to pull off for Rotary next year?
Well, I've already accepted a district position, and that's to chair the ongoing programs, which includes literacy and fellowships. And also, the district has agreed to have RotaCare become a district-wide program, so we're going to be out at the district assemblies and promoting the clubs to take a look at their communities and possibly forming a RotaCare free medical clinic.
Yeah, so there's a real pattern here, folks. Folks join Rotary, they find their place in it, they find their interests, they get an opportunity to use their skills and find themselves devoted to the idea of doing service, making the world a better place in one way or another, and it's kind of hard to give it up, isn't it, folks? You just find one more way to leverage the power of your fellow Rotarians and of your own abilities, and to take advantage of the organization and the opportunities that Rotary would give you willingly over and over to perform these acts of what we used to say, random acts of kindness or something, and the ability to leverage the best in us. I'm just about run out of things to ask you. I would like to ask you your take on Rotary, though. Where is Rotary going to be in 5 or 10 years from now? Are we in a transition? What's going on? Is it as Laura said in an earlier interview, it's not necessarily your dad's Rotary Club anymore, but it might be your mom's. And perhaps in this last question, we can add our two listeners, district governor nominee, Laura Day, has been listening very patiently to all this, and assistant governor, Dave Baring, who's the guy that works with these six club presidents. So maybe I can get each one of you to give me your take on where you think Rotary's going.
Had the opportunity to hear from John Blount, our director, who is an incredible man with great vision and the type who can glean things from conversations as he sits on the Rotary board alongside of our Rotary International president, Ray Klingensmith. I believe one major initiative is to make our Rotary Foundation, the Rotary Foundation, TRF, bigger and greater and bolder, more famous. We're making the steps to do that by changing the way we run our grant project. It's we feel it at our level and how we administer the program, but there's a bigger message here, and that is to make this a United Way type of Rotary Foundation, something that's known by everyone. So watch for that. That is a huge focus. On a concern of our leaders in Rotary is what are we and who are we and what do we do with our overhead and our resources that are dedicated to the elimination of polio. That has been such a focus. It's been our mission for so many years. It is going to come to an end very soon. And so what are we going to do with the people? What will we do when we don't have that influx of money coming in? So this is what the leaders of our organization are coming to grips with, is who will we be?
What do we do now, huh?
Exactly.
You know, it's terrible when you have a huge, monstrous task that no one else can begin to solve, and you go out there and solve it, and then you've got to say, now what? Yeah, a good problem to have, as they say.
Exactly.
Well, I know, Laura, with people like you in the lead, that we're never going to be short of talent, dedication, and direction. And we're all looking forward to when you take the reins of the district here and lead us off into the glory that will be.
Thank you, Bill.
And speaking of the glory that is, David, Assistant Governor, you've been riding head honcho on these, trying to keep these wild and crazy six club presidents together and focused and had a good time doing it. Where do you see Rotary going? What kind of directions, either personal or big, do you see in Rotary?
I see three very positive changes taking place. The first is marketing. For a long time, Rotary didn't market itself. They were doing all this work on polio, so many different literacy projects, water projects around the world, and they were afraid to promote it. It was more like, okay, you know, here's our organization, we're 100 years old, They promoted it within themselves, but not to the outside community. And I think in the last 3 or 4 years, you've seen a global shift in that. They're saying, let's be proud of what we've accomplished. Let's promote it. It's going to help attract new membership. So I think that is a very strong, positive sign that we see. Secondly, collaboration. I think they're trying to get more clubs working together, districts working together, a district in one part of the world working with a district in another part of the world, more and more clubs joining together rather than having one club do something totally on its own. The third change is flexibility. It's no longer an old men's club where you have to meet every single week or you get expelled from the club. That was what I used to envision 10, 15 years ago. Once you join the club, you see that it's a lot more flexible. They're encouraging women, they're encouraging youth, they're encouraging diversity. And I think all that is going to have a positive ramification going forward.
Wow, fantastic. Somebody else, jump in. Volunteers in Rotary, you know, here's how you get them. You take your index finger and you point. Ready? So what do you think the future is, Mr. Paulson?
Good question. I think that what Rotary is trying to do is push things down to the club level and not control it internationally anymore. You know, you look at the pilot district, the future vision, getting more and more money back to the districts, which they can get back to the clubs, encouraging more and more participation at the international level, and getting clubs to work together.
Yeah.
And I think that's an important part, because in the past, one club would do something and back with everybody else. And now you look at what we're doing with Rotacare, you've got 10 clubs involved. And I think that's a positive direction.
Yeah, clubs are really the powerhouse of Rotary. It's an inverted triangle, you guys. You know, it's not the feudal corporate triangle where the people at the top tell everybody at the bottom what to do, because everyone at the bottom in Rotary says, oh yeah, really? And does what they want to do. So the people at the top are getting smart now, and they're saying, hey, whatever you want to do, we're with you, and we've got some stuff to help you do it. And that kind of opens the future up, doesn't it, for us personally and Rotarian-wise. So, Mr. Clarkson, what's the future hold for Rotary for you, and what's your take?
Well, I think you touched on it, and so did David, is that Rotary clubs really are focused on a club level. That's where the action really occurs. Our club, being in San Ramon, which after the U.S. Census just came out, shows it as being a very, very diversified city, a young city. And I think our Rotary club is trying to reflect that and to reach out and to bring and try to incorporate a place where all segments of our city, whether their religion, their nationality, their age, what they do for a living. And you don't have to just be a business person. You can be a nonprofit. You can be involved in the clergy. You can be involved in civic or in schools.
School teacher?
School teachers.
Wow.
Principals even.
They're dropping their standard. Oh, wait a minute. I'm a school teacher. Sorry.
And allowing a place, as I mentioned before, that members of the community of all diversities, of all ethnic origins, can come once a week, soft place to fall, have great relationships first, and the community service follows.
Excellent. Melanie, one of the two remaining ladies here, give us a feminine take on it.
Well, I think if you look at the Interact clubs in our valley, they're really energized. There's a large group of high school kids that belong to those Interact clubs, and they're doing lots and lots of stuff. And hopefully they'll grow up to be Rotaractors and Rotarians. And if that's the case, then I think Rotary will be really dynamic in the next decade.
So nurturing the kids is worthwhile. Mm-hmm. And how about you, Deborah?
I'm with Laura. It's bigger. It's going to be bigger, better, and bolder.
Ah.
And I pretty much think that's where Rotary's headed for.
All right. A man?
We are working very hard on making our Rotary Club younger. Rotary International has realized that we have to change as an organization to attract younger people. A year ago, I didn't know what a podcast was, and now I'm doing one, so we are changing. But I will say, in our club, our youngest member is a 26-year-old former Miss Oakland. Our oldest member is a 92-year-old former captain in the U.S. Navy in World War II. There's room for Rotary for people of all ages and all backgrounds, and that's what we have to emphasize.
Well, excellent, folks. I guess the bottom line is that if you want to be a Rotarian, then all you have to do is be a person who wants to give back, who wants to somehow show that you appreciate your good fortune, your love of life, your success, and that you'll be one of these people who wants to join with other folks who feel the same way and leverage that appreciation you have and do a good deed without expecting an immediate return necessarily, but knowing that in the long run, it's only such things that ultimately make any difference at all. And I'll tell you, folks, it is such a privilege for me personally to be sitting here with these folks and to have joined a family of Rotary 5 years ago. I never knew I had 1.2 million family members. And I got to tell you, they're great. I love them all. They're all on the right beam. Even if they don't see it exactly the way I see it, we all see it getting better. So one and all, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure to have you on the podcast. And just a quick word from our little techie here, who's one of those Gen X guys, and he's been running these podcasts. And Joe, are you hopeful for the future of Rotary here with all these oldies?
I think, from what I've seen of Rotary, I think you're all doing the right things. And I agree with Melanie. The Interact activity is amazing. We have some incredible Interact clubs in the area. And if they're any indication, Rotary's got a very bright future. But you can almost ask anyone. They know somebody who's been in Rotary, and they know that Rotary does good work. So it's a great organization to be a part of.
All right, so here's what you got to do, folks. Start checking out Rotary. All you got to do is go online. Just go to www.rotary.org. Or if you want to find out about our own particular district, you just put a 5160 in that address, and you'll go straight to our district. Or if you want to find out more about these six clubs, you're in the San Ramon Valley area, just go to www. How many? Are there three of them, Joe?
Three or zero.
RotaryInTheValley.org. And check it out. You'll find stories there. You'll find other podcasts to listen to. And you'll find access to all those people you've really needed in your life for a long time. Because we're here waiting to welcome you and bring you into the family of Rotary. So much to do. So many great people to do it with. Thanks so much. And we'll see you next time.
Thank you, Bill.